We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long on looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Military fighting a massive invasion.
Around the world.
Total devastation.
We have to protect them. Promise me.
I promise.
That's a little bit of the trailer for a movie that is intriguing from the trailers and from what I've been reading about. It's called A Quiet Place. It's a horror movie, maybe with the potential of being a different kind of horror movie. Maybe different if only in the fact that there may not be a lot of dialogue in the movie, given its premise, which we'll discuss here as we review this movie with Pastor Ted Geese on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies of Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm just going from the trailers I have seen and from a few of the pre-reviews that I have read. It sounds like it has the potential to be a different kind of horror movie.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for this in the theater when it first dropped as a trailer, and I thought it was pretty intriguing. I kind of generally try to avoid a lot of stuff before I see movies, so when I went to see this one, I didn't know what the thing was. So it's like a horror movie. The idea is you got to be quiet, silent as possible, because whatever the thing is, it's listening, and if it hears you, it'll get you. So all I did going into the movie was I just went in not knowing what it was about. I didn't know if it was going to be vampires, zombies, aliens, ghosts. I had no idea. So it was kind of fun just going into it like that and kind of discovering it as it unfolded. So we might end up having to spoil it a little bit if people haven't seen it yet or are thinking about seeing it, but it is worthwhile checking out if you like horror films, if you like thrillers, actually, because it's almost more of a thriller than a horror film, although it has those elements as well.
Okay, so let's just, to be on the safe side, tell our audience that we might likely spoil a little something if you haven't seen it. If you don't want to go see the movie, you can listen to the review later after you've spoiled it for yourself.
Yeah.
So the premise here is what?
The premise is that it's a dystopic world. You know, that's kind of a thing that we have a lot of these movies about. But the reason it's a dystopia is that there is something out there that is just killing people and eating them. So there's very few people left. So you're in a kind of a part of the world where there's very few people left. And the focus of the movie is on one family. So it's a father and a mother and their kids, and she's pregnant, and they're kind of isolated, and they're on a little farm in the like in the hillside in the forest kind of thing, and they have a grain elevator, or like a silo, and on top of it like a little light, and then you can see other little lights way off in the distance. So there are other people around, but there's very few people. And in order to survive, you have to be very, very quiet, not speak, don't make noises. They even have where they don't wear shoes, don't wear socks, so that they can feel everywhere that they're stepping, so that they don't end up, you know, making noises they wouldn't expect to make. So that's the thing. So it's a survival movie, surviving in the midst of danger.
All right. Talk a little bit about he stars, he writes, and he directs this. Most people only know this actor from, I guess, probably his long tenure on the American version of The Office, in which he proved to be one of the most subtly hilarious characters. Really the only straight man, if you ask me, in the entire cast.
Yeah, John Krasinski. He's really great. He played Jim on The Office. And so this is a second kind of movie in a row where you've got a comedian who now is writing a movie that's like a thriller slash horror film. So the other one was Jordan Peele, who had been on the Mad TV sketch comedy show years ago, and he did the movie Get Out that was from 2017, was up for Academy Awards, and he won for Best Directing or Screenplay or something like that. I can't remember now. But at any rate, so Hollywood's kind of going, comedians making horror films. Is this a new trend? But John Krasinski is really great in this. And of course, he's married to Emily Blunt in real life, and they play the husband and wife in this film.
There is kind of a strong pro-family, pro-marriage, even you say pro-life presupposition in this film.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where I don't know, like, maybe they didn't really think of it in advance, but it's the kind of thing where there's a certain bunch of people, we would be part of that group of people who would just love this, because you see a father, like a strong father, who and an actual marriage that fits what you find in scripture as a good marriage, with the father being the head of the family, the wife being a strong wife, but under the headship of the father. At one point, she's pregnant, the mother is pregnant, and you think to yourself, anybody who's spent any time with babies, babies are noisy. So there's this sense of impending doom. If this baby is born, there's going to be noise. So how are you going to deal with that? But they don't opt to just like terminate the pregnancy. It's so important that they have the child, because there's so few people and they need to have kids, and they want, and it's their kid. They don't want to like not have this kid. So that's a big pro-life kind of part of it. Also, they, at the very beginning of the movie, they lose one of their kids because the kid is not listening to the parents and makes noises, and like essentially the one kid and another kid kind of break the fourth commandment, and it causes the child to die. So they're carrying the grief of having lost a child in the midst of all of this too. Plus the daughter, the oldest child in the family, is deaf. So she's a deaf character played by a deaf actress. And they, you know, she's a disabled person in the family, and they care for her. And in fact, it's the caring for her that is pivotal to the outcome of the whole film.
So again, a spoiler alert, what's after them?
It seems like it's an alien of some kind, some sort of space alien thing, because it's blind, it's strong and powerful, and it looks kind of like, I don't know, the monster from the first season of Stranger Things or something. But it listens to things. So it's got this kind of big ear that opens up and listens. So that's what's chasing them. And it's very fast moving. So as soon as you make a noise, you're in trouble. So you have to instantly be quiet to try to evade being attacked.
Can there be much dialogue in a movie whose premise is on we have to be quiet or die?
Cleverly, you can. There's a couple ways they do that. One way is that one of the family members is deaf. So that means that the whole family has the ability to, or has learned how to do sign language. So there is sign language with subtitles underneath. Plus there are moments, like at one point they go by a river and the river's noisy, so they can actually talk next to the river and not be heard. So there's a couple spots like that. They do things like soundproofing, that kind of stuff, that help give an opportunity. And sometimes very quietly under their breath, they can kind of say some things to each other a little bit. So there is dialogue, but it's very sparse. And what happens in the theater is everybody in the theater starts getting quieter and quieter. Like people like going for their popcorn or getting like a candy or something. They start to feel like they're uncomfortable in the moment, and they have to like be quiet because that could kill you, kind of a thing. So the whole movie theater was very, very quiet.
Does it deliver? I mean, you got to do two things if you're going to have a horror movie. You have to be able to scare people, and beyond just kind of the boo gags that they do where something suddenly happens, that's easy to do in a movie. But you also have to have an ending that either resolves the problem or, in the case of many horror movies, extends it for an endless number of sequels. Does it deliver in that sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that the reason why it delivers is because of that family. If it was just a group of teenage kids in the countryside or something, in the wilderness or in the woods, I don't think it would work as well. But because it's actually a family with an intact mother and father and kids, that dynamic helps the whole thing. Plus, you know, if you were a parent yourself, let's say, and you're seeing this movie, your maternal and paternal instincts are going to be, you know, kicked into high gear, super into high gear as you're watching it. Kids, of course, are, you know, if a teenager sees it, you know, worrying about your parents dying or, you know, your siblings dying can kind of work in your, you know, to your advantage. I think that that's why it works, is that it's, and if it isn't the family that you've got, it's the family you'd like to have, kind of a thing. And it's a family where, you know, faith is not mocked. They're shown praying at the dinner table. You know, the mother and father operate as mother and father is supposed to. It's quite an exceptional film.
One reviewer that I looked at compared it to the Mel Gibson film Signs. You remember this one?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
And I think the point of the comparison was probably the genre and also the fact that there was the story could not have been told the way it was. It really was a story of a family.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference too, like I was just saying. In fact, I don't know if you remember Signs, but there's a scene at the dinner table where they're kind of having a last supper and Mel Gibson is the father. They're about to eat and one of the kids like wants to have a prayer, but he's an Anglican minister who's kind of like left his vocation as an Anglican minister, and he's totally wavered in his faith, and he's angry about the idea of having a prayer, and it's like an explosive moment at the dinner table, and it is so effective. It's one of the most arresting parts of the film, and it goes so much towards how the film resolves itself. But I think that really kicks it into gear. And I think the other thing too is the fact that Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are actually married in real life. They bring a lot of their own subtleties to their relationship into the screen, or at least you feel as though that's what's going on. I mean, they're actors, right? But it seems they're believable as a married couple, and that helps a lot too.
We'll take a break when we come back. Some more of our review of the movie A Quiet Place. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how, well, it dovetails nicely with some really basic Lutheran teaching on marriage and family and children and parents. Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies.
Who cares what picture you see? Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. We're reviewing the movie A Quiet Place. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, you had the opportunity not only to attend, but also participate in our Houston Making the Case Conference last year. How can our listeners benefit from attending the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer?
Dear listeners, if you're like me, I'd actually heard about these conferences for a couple of years before I had an opportunity to go and be involved with it and be present at it. And I can tell you it was worth every penny. It was a great time. And also, some of the things that I really loved was I loved being with all of these listeners of the show. So actually spending time with each other was fun, you know, meals, meeting people you don't actually know yet, and it's like meeting old friends. Plus, on top of that, you know, there's the hymn sing part, which was really fantastic, and all of the presenters were great too. Lots of great Lutheran hospitality in the midst of it. So I would really strongly encourage you, if you're able to get to one, you know, find a way to get there, because you're going to have a great time.
Folks, you can learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity, the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, held Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. Attendance is limited to 400. Thanks to the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, child care is free for ages 1 through 12. You can find out more. You can also register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Before we get into the connection that you see with some of the parts of Luther's Small Catechism to the, kind of the premise of this film, I did want to ask you just one kind of acting question. I have noticed, now this doesn't always happen, but I have noticed that people who kind of start their career in comedy are often some of the most talented actors. They surprise us when they move from, say, sitcoms to film. Steven Carell is one of them. I mean, he makes his fair share of funny movies, but he's also made some really astonishing performances in straight movies as well. Does John Krasinski prove to be equal to that?
You know, I think so. I mean, like, he plays a very convincing father in this film, and he's had some chances to do some things a little bit different too. So, you know, this is an area where I'm happy to see how this is going for him. In fact, I think at one point he was even possibly going to end up being Captain America. That went to Chris Evans, but, you know, if you could kind of imagine that, you know, like him as Captain America, but there you go.
So what connections have you found in this film to some really basic Lutheran teaching on parents, children, the family, those things?
Well, like I've said before here on the program, like if you're a Lutheran and you've studied the catechism and you can't really study it enough or have studied it too much, if you're like that, then you're taking it with you everywhere you go. That's the best way to do it. So when you're sitting in the theater, you're going to be kind of watching it through the lens of scripture, through the lens of the catechism itself. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching the film, and of course it's a little quiet, but it's also suspenseful. And you've got all of this stuff going on, and I'm starting to think about things from the catechism. That's just kind of what I'm doing as I'm watching the film. And for instance, there's a couple different spots where it really kind of jumps out at you. Like one is, like Luther has his table of duties, and the table of duties, he just quotes scripture to talk about different parts of life. So he quotes scripture for husbands, for wives, for parents, for children. So those kind of scriptural passages kind of come to mind as you're watching the film. Also, I guess an obvious one for parents and children is the fourth commandment. So honor your father and mother. that would be a big kind of part of it too. Like, how do the kids interact with the parents? You know, are they fulfilling the fourth commandment? Are they failing at the fourth commandment? And then also another part that really popped into my head when I was watching it was in the confession part, when it's talking about, you know, the short form of confession, like how Christians should be taught to confess. And the idea in there is that, you know, like if you are a master or a lady of the house, you may start it out by saying, in particular, I confess before you that I have not faithfully guided my children, you know, and then talks about other aspects of life, but I've not guided my children to the glory of God. So the idea is that a person is going to ask themselves, like if you're a mother, you're going to ask yourself, have I been a good mother? If I'm a father, have I been a good father? And there's a point in the movie, because they're carrying the grief of the child that died near the beginning of the film. The mother is still, this is still on her mind. They've just had the new baby. The new baby has been born. And she's like, I could have been carrying that child. It was the youngest child that died. I could have been carrying that child. I had nothing in my arms, she said. So she's introspectively thinking about herself as a mother in their family. And then of course she's confessing this with her husband there, and he's comforting her in that moment. And it made me think of that part of the catechism, which I thought was really, really interesting and good. So that was, these are a couple of the things. So I would recommend that if people go see this film, to actually crack out their catechism and look in the table of duties part, read those scriptural passages, think about what you watched in relationship to that. Also to look at that confession section, and then also to review the fourth commandment as well.
So do you have any concerns about, a lot of times these movies have as a target audience, I think teenage boys usually, although I think there are probably more and more girls who are seeing that. Do you have any concerns about that audience?
Well, teenage boys might enjoy this film. I think that it might be better for a married couple. You know, it might be a good date night movie if you guys both like horror films. Or like kind of scary movies, I guess I should say. My wife and I were in the theater when the trailer came out, and we saw the trailer together. And she had a reaction to the trailer, and I had a reaction to the trailer. And I said, do you want to go see this movie? And she's like, no. So this is one that I went to by myself. She had some other things going on that afternoon, so I just went. But if somebody is really, horror films or scary films are not for them, then it's, you know, like just in general, you would avoid these kind of movies anyways. But if you are intrigued or interested, you like that kind of film, it's worth seeing, and it's worth probably seeing in the theater.
How scary is it? I mean, I had a really high tolerance for this when I was a younger guy, where the scarier the better. And I think just kind of living life and realizing that life really is dangerous and has its own real fears made me less tolerant of movies just trying to scare me. So if I see one, I want it to be genuinely a scary movie, but not to get any kind of cheap scares out of me or gratuitous.
I think that the scares that it's going to get out of you are going to be legitimate scares, because you take you with you. So, you know, you're a new grandpa, right? You know, so you're going to take with you your life experience. So I find sometimes that's going to also have a big part in this. So this idea of like children in peril, that really hits some people really, really hard. And this movie has that in it. Or, you know, the spouse in peril also. So it's not, and that's not a cheap scare or a cheap like emotional response. That's kind of hitting at the core of who you are or who a person is often. So this is not a movie that it really builds on that kind of stuff. It's a slow burn in a way, but it builds on that element of it.
Any pastoral concerns you want to pass on to someone who says, I'm going to see it this weekend?
I mean, it has like these kind of like, it's a monster movie. So there's monsters in it, and there's a couple of pretty violent moments in it. But overall, it's a movie that like actually presents a scriptural presentation of what a man and a wife married in a family looks like. And it's a really strong movie towards parenthood and towards good children in a family. And it's a strong movie in that way. And it has a real pro-life sentiment. So as far as horror films go, you know, this is exceptionally different than what you'd normally expect.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of A Quiet Place at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow marks the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's defending of the Heidelberg Disputation. Now, that might ring a bell with you. We would like to kind of bring you up to speed and answer that question, what was the Heidelberg Disputation? We'll be discussing those things tomorrow with Dr. Cameron McKenzie of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He will bring his considerable knowledge of Lutheran theology and history to bear upon that question. We'll also continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House about the number and use of the sacraments, ecclesiastical order, and human traditions in the church in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.